This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Hi, it's Lisa Horlander, artist, curator, teacher, and podcast host. My goal is to give you a glimpse into the lives and stories of artists, as well as showcase some of the art history happening right now. Thank you for listening in. Today, I'm really excited to have a special guest. I have Katie Carey. She is the head of content and marketing at Artwork Archive, something we've talked about a few times. She's also a ceramic artist based in Denver, Colorado. Katie, it's really good to have you today.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me, Lisa. I'm so glad to hear so many of you have been talking about Artwork Archive, and I'm happy to talk more about it today. So really looking forward to this interview.
This is going to be great. So those of y'all who maybe if you haven't heard about Artwork Archive, they provide artists, collectors, and organizations a really great way to manage your artwork, your career, all of your data in an easy-to-use web-based website. I'm constantly encouraging people to check it out. So if you haven't heard about it today, we're going to talk all about it. But first, I want to know, Katie, what is in your class?
Okay, well, I just finished. I made myself a double espresso right before this, and now I am balancing that out with some water so that I don't talk too fast. And, you know, it's all about balance, so keeping it with some water now.
Nice, me too. Actually, I just switched. I have a little tea at the bottom, so I have lightly teed water. I don't know what you'd call that, but it isn't bad and it's keeping me hydrated. It's been too dry here, so I apologize to everyone if I sound kind of dried out. I am.
It's dry here too. Well, we're in Denver, so we always, you know, hydration is always key.
It is key, especially this time of year. We don't have snow or anything, but we just got here in Texas. It's all of a sudden cold spell just flew right in, and it went from like 70s back down to the 40s. Okay, here we go again. Well, I'd love to know a little bit, what sparked the beginning of Artwork Archive? I've personally been dying to find out myself.
Yeah. So it's an interesting story. So John, who's one of our co-founders, and he's our main programmer. His mom is an oil painter. She's a very accomplished oil painter. She does a lot of portraiture, and she was looking for a platform that would better help her organize her work. And John, being a coder, started this as a side project about 10 years ago while he was working for a different company with our other co-founder. They started it up about 10 years ago for her needs, and found that other people were really taking to it towards it. And so we've just really built it since then. And the user base has grown, the needs have grown. We've added more products and features for artists as well as collectors and organizations. But it started out for artists based on the need of John's mom. And she's still a user, and she gives us a lot of great feedback, as well as like so many of our users give us such great feedback all the time. But yeah, it was just built out of this need for her.
That's amazing. I had a feeling that it really was designed for an artist, or an artist designed it themselves, because it's so user-friendly and everything I personally have been looking for. So that's pretty cool. I'm really amazed by that. Now, what sparked your personal interest in art, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I've always been interested in art. My mom was a medical illustrator and graphic designer, and I loved watching her draw growing up. And then I was that artsy kid in high school. I took all of the art classes that you could take, but I wasn't maybe encouraged to go to art school for college. So I went and got a marketing and art history degree, kind of adjacent to making art. And then right after, before I got a real job, I decided to go work on a farm in upstate New York.
Okay.
That happened to also have it was really fun. But they also happened to have a lot of craft studios. So it was kind of like an artist guild or commune, I would say. They had craft shops like woodworking, boat building, metalsmithing, weaving, pottery, and paper crafts. And so while I was there working on a farm, you got to do one day a week in a craft studio, and I chose pottery. Mm-hmm. And it just really captivated me, and I became pretty much obsessed with the whole process. And it changed the course of, I would say, my life and career. I ended up doing an apprenticeship there and then doing some residencies. And it led me to Artwork Archive, which I've been with for about 6 years now. So everyone on the team is an artist or art maker or has art kind of like in their background. So we all kind of understand how you would want to use the product and why, and we're able to use firsthand knowledge to use it. Working here, it's also helped with a lot of the educational resources that we built. But yeah, I would say it's always been an interest.
That's awesome. That was very interesting. I love the idea of a farm that also is teaching people creative use of, you know, practical items and stuff like that. Sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, what is your personal favorite part of Artwork Archive?
Yeah, so this might be a long answer because I like a lot of things about Artwork Archive.
That's okay. I want to hear all of them.
Okay. On a larger scale, I just love that it provides artists with tools to empower themselves to grow their business and document their artwork for their career. I think it's really important to not only learn those skills, but have accessible tools to be able to do that and take it into your own hands. I love that it makes it easier to manage your art business, which inevitably becomes just harder as you grow your career, right? So you have more shows, you are making more work. And if you're like me before Artwork Archive, your desktop is full of files and folders and it is not organized.
This is the honest to God truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So it helps you with that because as much as it's easy in that moment, when someone asks you for a price or a high resolution image, you know, I was finding myself just spending an hour maybe digging up the file and then wondering even if I have the file. So it just makes it less stressful because there's enough stress that happens outside of organization. So, you know, the more I go on, I'm realizing how important organization is. And I think, you know, I think a lot of artists can identify with that. It just takes the stress out. So I love having that high resolution image along with the critical information. So if someone's asking for a price list or they're interested in something, I can just get back to them right away. I don't have to think about it. It doesn't take an hour. Then I can save that time that it takes searching for something into actually making something, or it takes that mental load off a bit. So I love all of that. We come with a lot of stories from artists who are using the platform, and we ask, why did you start using Artwork Archive? And a lot of people will say that I was looking for a solution after I double sold an artwork that was at a gallery, but then I sold it online and I didn't know, or I forgot where an artwork was. And I had something similar happen to me recently, which before I got Artwork Archive, I put some work in a gallery in New York. And 4 years later, I get a check for some work that sold, which felt like free money, but really I should know that my work was there. I should know what work is there and I should be able to get that back or put it to another gallery that maybe is working better for me, or bring it with me. So it really helps you keep track of where your work is and your galleries and your contacts and just all the information right at your fingertips. I love that going on. I love a lot of things. So second, I love that I feel like it's a more democratic system for documenting our collective culture of artwork during this time. So this is something I think about a lot. And I think instead of only institutions or museums determining which artists are worth recording and preserving that history, artists can take that into their own hands and record their own history and record their careers. And I think we're just seeing so much art and we're able to see what this means in this moment in time. So I think from a historical point of view, that's very interesting to me to see.
Yeah, I agree on that. Not to interrupt you, but I've been mm-hmm. very interested in the way that Instagram's played out with art history and some of these other digital archives that they're becoming. And that's been something that I personally have a lot of fun going and perusing around and finding people on Artwork Archive and just seeing who else is on there. It's been a lot of fun that it's not a community, but it is a community in a sense that you can discover things. And like, I'm always looking for people to have on the podcast or things to talk about. I also teach for my students. I try to keep it fresh. And it's like, oh, I have everybody at my fingertips here on this new forum that I can look for people. So I think that's really interesting you brought that up because I also really like that feature.
Yeah, I love seeing it. And of course, it's you know, you can be recording it. It can be public or not. You know, by default, everything is private. But I do love seeing all the different people from around the world documenting their work and what that means for recording, you know, especially through the pandemic. It was so interesting to see how people were recording and making work and how that, what that will mean in 20, 30, 50 years, looking back on that work in that time. And I think recording it is really important to our culture and for artists. So if you were thinking, if you were having a retrospective in 50 years, what would your work right now mean? Mm-hmm. So I love also seeing, like, looking back on your own work and seeing the progression of your work from, you know, 5 years ago to now, or seeing collections of your work and getting an overview of what you've been making in your career. So it's like your own personal record of your growth, I think, and recording that. I think it's really interesting to see.
That's so true. Have you noticed that there's certain aspects of artwork archive that maybe are often overlooked that you recommend people notice and take advantage of?
Yeah, I would say that I think our content, if I had to choose just one thing, I would say our CRM feature, which is customer contact relations management. It's a very powerful feature, but it's overlooked. I would say that, you know, we tend to think in terms of sales that our repeat customers are our best customers. So the contacts feature allows you to tie sales records and make invoices and follow up and make those personal connections, which are so important to art. So instead of just a shopping cart and a direct checkout, you can build a relationship, especially if you're doing fine art. Like, that relationship, collectors love it. So they love to see the reports and the private rooms that you can send directly to them. And that's all available through the contact.
Private rooms, that is a really nice feature to be able to create something and invite people in there, because it's just like curating a little gallery space online. And I thought that was a really clever way of offering artists an opportunity to send their clients curated information. I love that. What other... Besides, like, private viewing spaces, can you explain to people what all the little options are in that?
In the private room?
Yeah.
Well, so this is actually something that's new that we just added this year, too. We added some more options within private room so that you can collaborate easier with your collectors. So you can, they can now favorite work. They can communicate with you directly within that room. So basically, on a high level, private rooms are a way for you to curate a small collection of your works and then digitally show them to a potential buyer. So that potential buyer might be interested in, say, you have landscape that you want to show just the landscapes to them. So you can create a room with those landscapes, and then you can send that link to them. And then they can then see all of those images along with the details of the work and their price or any information that you want to include about it. And then they can comment back, or they can favorite it. You can go back and forth, and then eventually you can create from that room an invoice, or you can create a sale right from that room, or you can create reports. So say you're working on a show and you want to create an inventory room or an inventory report, sorry. From that, you can create reports and ways. It's just a great way to collaborate with both galleries and your buyers.
It really is. I also like the fact that it is kind of recording the interaction. So you can go back in time and say, what did I actually talk about with them a year ago, let's say? And be like, oh, wow, this is what we talked about. Maybe they'd be interested if I reconnect and talk about how that body of work has progressed. So it's kind of recording not just your artwork, but also recording your interactions with people. Because I know my inbox on my email gets really full. So having something like that that is separate from the cluttered email is amazing. I love it. Okay, so
right,
so sorry. go for it.
Sorry. Well, I was just going to say, that's like one of the great things about the contacts feature, too. You can see that whole history of interaction between the both of you. So you can get a good picture of what you guys have talked about in the past.
It's great. It's just all in one place, too. It's great. When you've talked to other artists who are just getting started using Artwork Archive, how can they find a balance between prioritizing their art making and their paperwork by utilizing Artwork Archive?
Right. I think that is the number one question, you know, that we all have about an art career. I think, you know, it's the same thing as most other admin. I would say set a block of time, what works for you, whether that's a Friday or every day from 9 to 11, and set boundaries for both. I would say knowing how to keep the art making time to art making and then avoid bringing that mental load of admin and paperwork and finances and bills into the studio and archiving into the studio is so essential to being able to create with freedom. And so I would say make a checklist for your most used tasks. So it's easy to go through and remember every time. Say you're inventorying your work with Artwork Archive, create a checklist. So every day or every Friday, every other week, say photograph your work, upload it. Maybe you follow up with clients every other week, follow up on unpaid invoices, send a newsletter, whatever is on your list. I would say people who are just getting started, I always recommend going from your most recent work to your older work because it's more top of mind. So if you're just getting started, we know that it can be a big project because most people start when they've had a lot of work. So we always recommend, you know, get started earlier than later because you have less work and you can do it, you know, you can create a system for doing it every week. But if you have a lot of work or you're later in your career, you have a big project in front of you. So if you do it top of mind and then go backwards, that's always good. We also do offer an import system. So if you've been recording it on a spreadsheet or in some other kind of way, we'll help you with that upload to make it a little bit easier.
That's encouraging. I do have a backlog. I've got the last 5 years that I put in. So I'm like, I'm going to personally go check that part out because I do have some really old spreadsheets of things that were like more than 5 years ago. And I haven't been touching them yet because I was just like, this is going to take me forever. So that's good that we can integrate it with a spreadsheet. That's really encouraging.
Personally, yeah, reach out. Like I didn't get to this part, but one of the other things I do love is that our team is very available for helping in situations like this. You know, we're all a team of artists and we're there and we're not just another chat bot. So you get real people who really understand our artists themselves and will help you upload that.
That's awesome. I'm really excited about that. Thank you. That's really kind of you guys too. So what is new for 2023? I remember getting an email recently talking about some new features.
Yeah. So I think we talked a little bit about the private rooms. So a lot of that was new last year. And then we added a few new reports. So for those of you who aren't familiar, we have a lot of reports on Artwork Archive that once you upload it to your artwork, you can quickly select them and the information that you would like to include on each report. So you can create inventory reports or catalog pages or portfolio pages, care sheets and consignment reports, all these things that you would need when you are communicating with a gallery or something like that. So we added catalog pages last year. This year, we have a lot of product updates, but we're also really excited to focus on some more educational content and webinars coming up for artists. I think our big focus has been education for last year and this year as well. And so we have a lot of free webinars coming up for artists about business topics that we started them last year and we've just seen such a great participation rate and people joining. So we have one coming up for taxes and then we have a guidebook coming out for artists on how to start an art business with 5 chapters and worksheets. And then we will have webinars and classes to go over those that will cover kind of establishing your art business and art marketing and financial literacy and pricing and how to archive. So if you aren't quite sure where to start with archiving, these worksheets and classes will show you exactly how to do that. And we'll provide that for free.
That is amazing. I'm so excited personally. I'm always looking for different types of online workshops to be able to learn those things. I'm like, I know a lot, but I still have so much room to grow. I'm not naturally gifted with math and economics, so I've spent a lot of time trying to improve that skill. So I'm really excited that y'all are offering that. And listeners, I will try to make sure and share on social media the second I see any of this.
Yeah, I mean, we can't learn it all by ourselves. So, you know, we're inviting other experts to come in because just the bigger your network is and people who are experts in that, you know, we have so much to learn. You know, when we're focusing on just making work, you know, they're going to help with a lot of these other aspects.
I feel like being an artist is a lot different than any of the other business and entrepreneur careers out there. So having it tailored, the information that y'all are sharing to us, that's been really helpful. I'm diving in on the emails you'll send often, trying to find out, oh, what are some up and coming grants that we can jump on, or shows or open calls or residencies. So I personally am like really excited anytime I get an email from Artwork Archive, because yes, y'all are giving me actual information I can use. I truly appreciate this.
Well, it's so good to hear.
What's a good tip or trick you would recommend to an artist who is just starting to get out there, trying to figure out the art world?
I would say just make a lot of work to start. Make bad work, work that you don't like. Don't be too precious about it at first. So if you're just starting out, the more work that you make, I would say that you're just more likely to catch on to something. So I used to have a copy of Sister Coretta Kent's Rule for Teachers and Students, which was popularized by John Cage. And I had that printed in my first studio. And I still find myself coming back to those rules quite often. And one of my favorite rules also is be happy whenever you can manage it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourself. It's lighter than you think. And I just think it's such a good reminder, because we get into the art world and it's stressful and it's veiled. And, you know, there's a lot all built up in it, but we're also really lucky to make art and be called to make things and share our story and work with our hands. And it is lighter than we think. And I think if you can have fun and be kind and make a lot of work, that seems fulfilling. So I think trying to refocus back on why you're even doing it in the first place feels like a good guiding star. And then I would say, you know, on a practical level, to connect with other artists, to go to shows, support artists, go to creative groups, join a critique group, take a class, get a mentor or a group of peers that you look up to and you like the work that they're making, or you look up to their career. I think it's kind of the way that you can grow. I think being around people who are quote unquote better than you, or you want to aspire to be like, helps you grow. I think it's the same in sports, where if you surround yourself with people who are better than you, or you want to be in or have more experience, you have a lot to learn. So I would say be open to learning and surround yourself with people who you look up to.
So true. I definitely agree on the idea that networking is one of the best ways of keeping yourself fresh and keeping yourself motivated. Because there's nothing like having someone who points out, oh, what you've been doing here is great. And you're like, oh, someone noticed. Okay, cool. Then I'm on the right track, rather than just looking at like Instagram for likes and stuff like that. Because that can kind of derail your actual fulfillment in what you're making. I love that.
I think it's affirming to have people who you respect say that and work for that. Because, you know, it's like, you know, you always have to consider the source of your critique, right? Because if it's coming from social media, it's like, we don't know these people. And like, it's great to have likes and have a dopamine hit from getting a bunch of likes. But, you know, if it's from someone who you really admire, I think that goes a longer way over, you know, the course of your career.
It's so true. So if someone is, speaking of social media, trying to connect their social media, their website, and maybe their new Artwork Archive, or maybe they don't have a website yet, can they and how do they do that? What do they offer on Artwork Archive?
Sure. So I would say, first of all, if you don't have a website or you're just starting off and you're looking for a web presence, we do offer a public portfolio, which is a great way for people to showcase their work online. And once you've put it into the inventory, you can quickly mark off which one you want to become public. By default, everything is private. So if you don't want it, it's completely optional, but it is a great way there to showcase online, to be searchable, to have kind of an online portfolio of your work, and then have your work, they can request to buy the work. You can send them an invoice directly from that request, and you can build relationships from that public portfolio. And then you can connect in a number of ways. So say you have a website already, and you want to cut down on the amount of data entry that you have, you can embed that public portfolio on, or public profile, sorry, on your website. So you can, so say you have a Wix or WordPress or Squarespace site, there's a little bit of code and you can just put that right on your website. And then anything that you put into Artwork Archive will then show up on, that you've made public will show up on your website as well.
I personally, I figured that out a little while ago. And it's one of the best tricks I've found, because I have a few photos on my website, but I found that it's easier just to have it say portfolio as a tab. They click on it and they go over there, because I'm keeping artwork archive updated, and then it's one less thing I have to think about. Another tip is, if you'll have Linktree, you can have the artwork archive on there along with your other web presences. Or if you don't have any of those, this is an easy starting block where you don't have to have a website. You have your artwork archive, and then you have that in your social media bio as a link to click on. So just ideas for those of y'all out there who maybe this might help you out. Katie, what have you seen lately that has knocked your socks off?
So in terms of art, we're so lucky to be able to work out of Red Line Gallery here in Denver, Colorado. And I went in, we had a meeting last week, and we don't go in often now because of the pandemic, and we're all working from home and remote. But we went in last week, and they were, for those of you who don't know, Redline is a gallery, and they have a residency program for emerging artists that's a very unique and incredible program for local artists and artists working with socially engaged art. And it's a free 2-year residency program, and they get mentorship, and everyone just makes really incredible art. So there was an alum show, and I walked in, and there's work from Ian Fisher, and the show was Carrie Fisher, so he's working with a peer. But he has these skyscapes that are, I guess, most simply put, like just realistic paintings of clouds. Mm-hmm. But the scale and use of light and the colors, it took my breath away. And I would say that if you've ever been on a plane and you're above the clouds and you're looking down and there's like this moment you want to like tap your seatmate and show them how incredible the sky looks like just in that right one moment, but they like look a little bit too late and it's gone. It's just like he's able to capture this moment of wonder and like ethereal beauty that both like kind of takes your breath away, but makes you breathe deeper right after. It was a very beautiful show, and I really liked it. So Ian Fisher,
I'm going to look that up right after this. That sounds right up my alley. I love sky and different perspectives of things. So that's exciting.
Yeah, and the colors are just so beautiful.
Oh, I think I found him on Instagram. I was like, I have to look this up while she's talking. Yeah, this is beautiful. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to put a link to him as well, you guys, so you know what we're talking about. This is great. To wrap things up, how can people easily find out more information about Artwork Archive? I'm pretty sure this is an easy link.
Yeah, I would say from our main website, artworkarchive.com. And then join our newsletter. You'll be hearing from me and my colleagues. We send out a newsletter about once a week with opportunities that are coming up, tips from other art professionals and interviews and spotlight features from artists that are on Artwork Archive, as well as invitations to free webinars that I was just talking about. So it's a great resource to just join in. It's free, and we love hearing from you guys, and we have such a great community of artists from around the world. So we love hearing from you guys too, and if you have any topics that you want us to look into, we're always happy to hear that as well.
Yay. Thank you, Katie, so much for being on here. And you guys, go check out their Instagram also. Artwork Archive has a lot of great accessible information rolling through their Instagram all the time. I'm sharing it on my personal and my podcast Instagram, so that way y'all can see it, because it's everything from open calls to advice on keeping track of your information to how to plan out your year. So I really appreciate you being on the podcast today, Katie.
Thank you. It was lovely to talk with you.
It was really nice. This was really helpful. And I learned a few things. So I hope y'all listen too. You can follow us on Instagram. If you enjoy my podcast, would you please consider supporting it on Patreon? We've got patreon.com/LisaHorlander. And don't forget to follow me and my guest on social media at Artwork Archive, and also the podcast's Instagram is at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode, it supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.